Well, first of all, happy feast of St. John the 23rd, Pope St. John the 23rd. We know that John the 23rd is the one who called the Second Vatican Council after World War II, and looking around and seeing the situation of the Church and realizing we need a renewal of sorts. He didn't want to rewrite Church doctrine. A lot of things that happened after the Council, I'm quite sure, were not probably something that John the 23rd had speculated, but what he did recognize was the need to kind of wake up Catholicism, and especially to wake up the sleeping giant of the laity. And I think, as with most church councils, you normally judge a church council not by what happens immediately afterward or in the next 20 years. You judge a church council 100 years later. That's the usual rule of thumb. And already, we're seeing that now in the church. When I was a kid, when I was growing up, it was kind of the immediate post-Vatican 2 years. I was born in 71, the council finished, what, in 65? So the immediate decades, there was a lot of experimentation, and frankly, a lot of goofiness in the church. But now, when we look at the church, we see a lot of things, the likes of which the church has never seen before. You see a Bishop Barron, and you see Ascension Press, and you see lay movements, and you see this dynamism happening in the middle of the church. And for all that we can focus on the negative, there's an incredible amount of positive energy that has never been seen before taking place in the church. So a lot of that we can thank to Pope St. John the 23rd. This time last year, I was in Turkey. I was actually in Greece on this day. I was finishing my Greece and Turkey pilgrimage, which, providentially enough, I kind of realized, we kind of put it into the hands of John the 23rd, because when we landed in Istanbul, as can easily happen, we got behind schedule coming from the airport, and the church that we thought we were going to celebrate Mass in, we couldn't. So we ended up going to the little Vatican nunciature in Istanbul, and the little chapel where Pope John the 23rd, when he was a bishop, used to celebrate Mass, because he was the nuncio there for a number of years before he went to Paris and before he was made Pope. So we kind of began under the tutelage of John the 23rd, then we ended on, I don't remember if it was the day we ended up, or right around then, on his feast day. So that was kind of cool. So, and now on to our homily. That was all a commercial break. Very briefly, the gospel was about, you know, yay big. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines with lots of spaces, so it was a very short one. The woman calling out from the crowd, "Blessed is the womb that carried you and the breast at which you nursed." He replied, "Rather, blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it." The end. That was the whole gospel. I'd like to focus on one thing. First of all, Jesus, what he was doing at the time was somewhat revolutionary, because he was taking the emphasis off of the hereditary bloodline, which in Judaism is huge. And that's the way God designed the original covenant, was it was transmitted by bloodline. And Jesus was taking the emphasis off of that and saying, from now on, it will be by faith. Okay? The words I would like to focus on, blessed are those who hear the word of God and then observe it. I usually focus in my homilies on the observe it part, so I'm going to leave that alone, because until you hear the word of God, you can't observe. Now, what does it take to hear the word of God? There's a difference between hearing it, you know, just like, okay, it registered, my ears picked up the sound waves, and my brain maybe even recognizes. That's one kind of hearing, but that's not the same as listening to, in being penetrated by, and being transformed by the word of God, so that I will then put it into practice. And I'd just like to focus on a couple of different things. Number one, if we want to hear, we need silence in our lives. And we all know that we live in a culture in which there is very little silence. What do we need in order to have silence in our lives? Well, the first and most evident thing is a lack of physical noise. We need to create moments in our day, spaces in our day, in which there's no television, no phone, no anything else. Time dedicated exclusively to being in God's presence, whether it's in my bedroom or in the Adoration Chapel, or maybe even just driving, especially if you're a passenger. It's a little harder when you're actually the driver, but if you're like on a train or something like that, possibly. But spaces that I'm only focusing on the things of God. Now, I understand that that's a luxury, but 10 minutes, if you can get a consecutive 10-minute stretch somewhere in your day, that can be a game changer. I was listening to a talk recently spiritual, psychological, and emotional benefits of 7 minutes of silence. If you can do at least 7 minutes of silence, I don't remember, there's this whole list of different, and some of them are medically verified, you know, when they check your heart rate and all that stuff, when you just simply have 7 minutes dedicated to being silent. But that alone is still not really what interior silence is about, because interior silence then is going to imply detachment from sin, which we all have sins, we all have temptations. That is also going to imply then the desire for the things of God. And I think this is the game changer. To create spaces of prayer in my life when I can listen to God's word and I can ask Him for the desire, because without God's grace, we can't even desire to be holy. We can't even desire the things of God. To create spaces in our day where we tune out the physical noise, we put ourselves in the presence of God's word, and we ask Him for the change of heart that allows us to desire holiness in the first place. When those conditions are in place, then comes the following part. We will observe it. The capacity to do God's will, to observe His word, is only possible when God Himself gives us the grace. So, blessed are you who hear the word of God, who create spaces of silence, who meditate on His word, who reject sin and all the things that take us away from God's word, and desire to put it into practice.